When did I get stabbed?
You okay?
I think I shit my pants.
Was there a time when you were remaking an 80s TV show where you thought this is a really bad idea?
The whole time?
Yeah, I think when they approached me to do it 5 years ago, I tend to roll my eyes like anyone else would if you think here about a television show being turned into a movie, and you kind of think this kind of seems like a corporate cash grab or whatever, just to play on something that was popular a long time ago. But I mean, we make that joke in the movie 3 minutes into the film, saying like, "Hey, we get what you're thinking, and we're gonna call it out before you can, and show you that it's a way better movie than you think you're about to see." And you know, for us, it was just about, hey, you know, if you could go back and live the most important period of your youth thinking you have all the answers, and then getting back there and knowing you have all the answers where you think you have are wrong, that's a cool idea for a film. So that's kind of the reason why I did it.
But I wonder if, like, if you changed the title of this movie, would most people even know, like, that what it was? Like, I mean, so it has nothing almost to do. Like, it's not like we're playing the same characters that were in the TV show or anything. Like,
right.
It's a whole reimagination of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the young kids, they don't know what 21 Jump Street is. Like, yeah. They don't have a clue.
Yeah.
They don't at all. I was 31, and I was like, 21 Jump Street, what? And I was like, this is awesome. And then I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we went to the university.
This shit's not on the air anymore.
Not one person would have known that this was a show or anything like that.
Yeah.
Phil Lloyd and Chris Miller, their previous film was an animated family movie, so what was it about them that you thought would be a good fit for this
movie?
Well,
we figured because this movie is so strongly animated that we just knew that they were the ones to do it. Like, no, I did not know. Like, I pretty much just listened to him. Like,
We had a bunch of directors come in and audition basically to get the part and to get the job, and they had a really cool take on it. You know, there were a lot of great people that came close, and they just had a cool take on the material that we were doing. Yeah, and so they, you know, we took a chance on them, and they did a really good job for the first film, for sure.
Yeah.
Jonah, you co-wrote the script. So as you were writing it, did you picture Channing in the role, or how did you know that he was right for the role?
We pictured it would be me and an action star. That was kind of like the idea. It was, we wanted someone who was known for action movies, who was willing to play with that persona to be in a totally different kind of film. And Channing is the best person working in that field, I think. And he was ballsy enough to take a leap of faith to do something completely different. I think I love when any actor that has that kind of cojones to jump into something so foreign to them is going to be good, because they're, you know, because they're courageous.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, sure.
I know you guys have executive producer credits on the film, and you've got a story credit, Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was rumors for ages. There's always rumors about 80s TV shows getting rebooted and all this kind of gear being made into films. What was the project like when you guys came to it compared to what we're seeing in the film?
I just got a DVD of the show.
Yep.
So that's all there was. And there was a real serious Miami Vice-style version of a script that we didn't take one. We just threw out, we didn't use.
Really? Yeah. Like really just over the top crazy?
Super straight. No, just super straight, like Miami Vice style.
Drama.
like an action drama.
That was a drama.
And we read it, and it was a good script, and it wasn't the right, it wasn't the take we were trying to do on the movie.
There just wasn't any room for speedboats in 21 Jump Street?
Yeah, it wasn't like, hey, let's go get a mojito and then take a tequila.
But there was, like, we were that
did
one
you ever see
point.
That in Miami Vice? Where they're like, you want to have the best mojito, and they, like, hop on a cigarette boat, and they're in Cuba just drinking a mojito.
Wearing sweet like pink suits and stuff. There were scenes in the movie that I read. I only read 50 pages. Like, they sent me 50 pages.
It didn't print out. It's not that they were.
Like, but that's all I had. Like, and I was like, so
he said yes on 50 pages of a script, which
is because
so
I was
awesome.
Like, is there more? Like, I was like, is there more?
He's like, this is awesome.
Script?
And I was like, thanks. What do you think? He's like, how does it end?
Like, and you're like, what do you mean? And I was like, ah, there's only 50 pages. And you're like, so you are going to say yes to 50 pages? I was like, I don't know. I want to be in the Jonah Hill business. that was it.
So I love this guy.
But there was literally a scene where I still am almost like regretful that it's not in the movie, that we're shooting like rocket launchers into like a lake, like in like a dream. Like, it was
so weird, but I was like, this is the most fun, ridiculous script I've ever read in my life. And it turned out to be the most fun, ridiculous movie ever.
Channing, you've got a bit of a relationship building with Steven Soderbergh at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just wondering how that relationship came to be. You've obviously, we're waiting for Haywire to come out here.
Oh, he's not out here yet.
No.
That's wild as hell.
And we've got, obviously, Magic Mike next, and there's another film, I believe.
Yeah, I wanted to do like a little 2-week part on this next thing with Rooney Mara and Jude Law and like it. I found somebody in like a way that I can honestly say that I've never worked with anyone on a directorial level that is more collaborative than he is. And to be someone that has made as many movies and many great movies as he has, he doesn't have to be. He really doesn't. But I think that's one of his biggest strengths, is that he empowers you as like an actor, as a set designer, as a grip, as a costume designer, to literally take it and run with it. Like the character that I play in Haywire was very written straight. It was like a very straight, underdeveloped character. And I showed up and I had kind of an idea of what I wanted to do with the idea of him, you know, and I just threw out an idea. He was like, great, let's see what that looks like. There was no questions of like, okay, or what is that, you know, how do you want to do that? He was like, great, let's see what it looks like. And then you just go and do it, and then he sort of shapes it from there. And it's unbelievable. Like, you know, I don't know of any other director I've ever worked with that has that much freedom and sort of self-assured and like hand with everything. You know, he's such a confident director that he knows he's going to find his way through it. And he called me for Haywire, and I was just like, I don't even need to read it. I was like, whatever, just tell me where to show up. And I did, and then over a beer after work on Haywire one night, I told him that I was a stripper for like 8 months of my life, and he laughed his ass off, and then he's like, that would make a great movie. And he's like, you should, and I was like, yeah, I want to make it a movie one day. He's like, you should write it. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get right on that, Steven Soderbergh. Let me start writing. I don't know how to write. and then cut to like, I don't know, 6-7 months later, you know, where me and my business partner Reed Carolyn, he wrote it, and we're doing it. We financed it, we produced it, acted in it, he directed it, and it's cool. It's fine. We're almost done with it now.
So awesome.
Jonah, Oscars this Sunday. Just want to know, what was your initial reaction when you found out about your nomination, and what do you expect from the ceremony this weekend?
I was just thrilled and shocked and humbled and honored, and I just expect to enjoy it, and bring in my mom and hope she has fun. I'm sure that's the kind of thing that moms really obviously would have a lot of fun being proud of their son for doing a good job, you know. And
I'm proud of you. I can't imagine how proud she is.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it's just I'm just excited to get to go. You know? Hopefully they'll kick me out.
How much improvisation did you guys do in the film, and are there any examples of scenes that are really different to what they were like in the script?
He wrote it, sorry, he can't say that it was awesome. Like, the writing's amazing, yeah. So he can't physically say that. Or actually, he can't say
it's
that.
Perfect.
But we would do the scenes, and then we would have fun with it after we sort of, like, you know, did what was on the page. We would.
There was, like, one moment that I think that's a big laugh in the movie that I really liked that just came from us on the day messing around, was when we're staking them out, and you, like, push my head down, and it's like, act like you're blowing me, like, that whole thing. Yeah, and then it's like, pod me, because, like, you're in a Peter Pan outfit.
God,
like,
Peter Pan costume.
You know, like, that whole thing was just, like, that felt to me like classic, like, Bad Boys kind of moment, and that just was... Channing and I, like, that just happened at the moment, you know. And that, to me, when I watched the movie, I'm like, that feels like it could have been in Bad Boys, you know. That's why it felt cool to me. And sometimes moments like that just happen once you're in the rhythm of making the movie.
And I've never had anything like, because, you know, I haven't done a lot of comedy, so I don't understand. I didn't understand before we started, like, that you can just like do like a riff session on, like, when you were sitting standing in front of like your picture, like, of you know, the baby picture. Yeah. What did you say about it again?
The Fred Savage.
And we literally sat there for, I don't know, a couple takes, where long takes where we just started throwing out things. Like, people were throwing off things off camera. We were just going like a whole riff about like who he looked like and what was so screwed up about the picture.
Yeah.
And I've never done that in a drama. You don't really do that. You know, you don't. It's not like you can just like riff on some sort of scene, doesn't, you know, and it's just so cool to me that you can do that in comedies.
Last question, guys.
Cool. Speaking of mums, I just have to quickly join in. My mum texted me this morning and said she thinks you're hilarious, so I think that eclipses the Oscar just a little bit.
Thanks, Sweet. Tell her thanks.
And speaking about photos, the scene you guys were just talking about, I have to know, are they really photos of you as a kid?
Yeah, they are. Yes, that's what we've been making fun of my mom a lot in this.
Really?
Yeah, my mom is. My parents are like the nicest people in the world. My mom is super out there, and like, she thinks I'm the greatest person, and my siblings are the greatest people in the entire world. And I guess felt so much so that she needed weird glamour shots of them as 4-year-olds.
I treat them like they're, I don't know, the Mona Lisa. Like, just won't let anybody even breathe on them.
Yeah. Are there big,
it's like a museum.
Are there big group family shots that are worthy of, like, awkwardfamilyphotos.com?
No. That's the thing, is they're all, like, individual. There's one of me and my brother that she got airbrushed and blown up. That's, like, the size of this wall. She's a sick person.
Thanks to your mum for doing those photos. And
I said, Mom, if you're going to put me through this, I'm at least going to get to use it for comedy.
Yeah.
I had years of my friends making fun of them, and they would come over to ask them, and I finally get to.
The only thing that makes it not creepy is how much she loves you.
She's truly not weird. She doesn't mean to be weird.
No, she's not weird whatsoever. But someone that didn't love someone that did that would be weird, but like, she's maybe
they're
the
not for anyone else lady. Besides like her.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's not like a creep. It's like she literally just wants to walk by her beautiful children and like,
she literally has the biggest heart I've ever seen on anyone. Yeah. Like, she's just is the cutest thing I've ever met.
She just loves her kids.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, last question. Not about cameos this time. You have been very busy in different projects. You have The Vow, you've been John C. Riley in Cyrus, and Hot Touring Your Dragon. Mm-hmm. I wonder which one is the most rewarding project you've been working lately. Is this one?
I'd say this one and Moneyball the past year, you know, these two movies to come out a few months apart from one another, or I guess November, December, January, February, March. Oh, wow, 6 months. Wow, that's crazy. 6 months apart from each other. These two movies are movies I'm really, really proud of, you know, and I hope to just keep making movies. I think it's a perfect example of, like, what I want to do in the comedy world and what I want to do in the drama world to come out so close together is, like, a perfect example of what I want out of my career, you know? Mm-hmm. That's for me, yeah.
Magic Mike. It's because it's something that we totally generated ourselves, and it was something that, like, I'll always do movies where I'll jump into a character that, you know, somebody else has, like, sort of created and you know, be an actor for hire, but it's just been so special in a way to, like, you know, start it and build it yourself. And then we did something kind of, you know, that not taboo, but it's definitely not done a lot, is Soderbergh, the director, and I, like, we financed it ourselves. We paid for the movie. Like, we put our own skin in the game. And because we believed in it, we wanted to make it in a way that no one else could affect what the outcome of the film was. So that, you know, and that doesn't ever happen. Like, you can't, you know, very rarely can you ever make a movie and not have it be compromised because of what the studio is telling you to do for it to make money. And, you know, so it's been odd and kind of interesting to do that and have a bunch of different hats on all at once, but it's just been like my favorite thing in the world because we have so much freedom.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Cool.